I can't help but mention this, but today, yes, it is today, November 10th, is Martin Luther's birthday. We're going to be talking with Dr. Ken Sherb in the second hour of Issues, Etc. today. Get a biography of Martin Luther. Now, what can you do in an hour of radio? Well, with Dr. Ken Sherb, you can do amazing things. Amazing things indeed. He sent me over the weekend an outline. Now, most of the time that a guest sends me an outline, it's a page, a couple points. You know, Ken sent me about seven pages. I don't think we'll be able to get through all of it in an hour, but he's a very disciplined guest and very knowledgeable in the ways of Martin Luther. So we'll get a brief but valuable biography of Martin Luther on this, the 10th of November. He was born in 1483, and we'll find out the best of his life with Dr. Ken Sherb in the second hour of the program. In the third hour, that is the third 45 minutes, since we're on an earlier sign-off time here at AM 850 KFUO. Greg Kokel joins us to talk about the Book of Romans and homosexuality. There are those who read the first several chapters of the Book of Romans, and when Paul talks about God giving them over to a depraved mind, they exchange the natural function of men for women, men for men, things like that. They say this does not refer to homosexuality. We'll find out what Greg Kokel has to say and how the twisting of Scripture can be brought to get Paul to say something that apparently the opposite of what he intended. Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason joins us in the third hour of Issues, Etc. today. The first hour is open lines for your questions and your comments. Now, I was looking at the Saturday St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The Saturday edition, of course, is kind of their tabloid form edition. And the Saturday paper always has the advertisements for faith communities. That's what we call them now. It used to be the church page. Yes, the church page. You want to get this for me? My cell phone is going off. My producer will answer it for me. Thank you. The church page is now the faith community page, or the faith services page, and it features all sorts of things: Islamic Center, basilicas, Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, Lutheran churches, you name it. I often like to read through this, and when I do, what interests me is, of course, not the mundane issues of service times and things like that. What interests me is the little advertising blurbs that go into each one of the churches. Now, not all of them are notable, but some of them are. Some of them are notable because of their strangeness. Some of them are notable because of their, well, I guess you could say, pandering to the public. Others are notable because they just are honest about what goes on in their church. Now, you've only got one or two lines in this advertisement for your church. If you got an extra money, you can probably get, oh, maybe 2 inches of small typeface on this faith services page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I'm going to read a few to you of the various varieties, and I'd like to know from you. And this is kind of similar to that old question we asked some time ago about if your church was going to get a billboard on one of the major thoroughfares of the St. Louis area, what would you put on the billboard? Given the fact that you have limited space and a limited amount of time to get your message across as people whiz by at highway speeds, here's one. If you're going on the faith page, and many of your churches do go on the faith page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, what do you put there? What's the little line beyond service times, pastor's name, location, you name it, that you want to say, this is what we are all about, in one or two lines? It's open lines. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. As usual, open lines is always anything you want to talk about. John Leo caught my attention as well. In the latest U.S. News and World Report, he had written an On Society column called The Good News Generation. Now, this caught my attention. He's talking about Generation Y, those born between 1977 and 1994. Well, I've got one of these at home. I've got a Generation Y kid at home. They're called the Millennials. They seem to be bucking the trend of what was expected of this generation. I'll share John Leo's column with you. It was of special interest to me because I've got one at home, but it's also of special interest to anyone who wants to make any money in this world because this is the target demographic. It's of special interest to all those churches out there that claim to be wanting to get the next generation, to attract the next generation. What is it they value? Maybe not what you expect. one thing I discovered from Leo's column, and we'll get some more detail on this in just a moment, and that is this Y generation is as big as the baby boom generation was. Every bit as big. It's the second baby boom. So they might be significant to watch. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And since it is a Monday, anything you saw in worship of note yesterday that you'd like to talk about as well, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, just those that caught my attention. I'm not going to give names unless I want to commend them, so I don't want to badmouth any churches here. Here's one. This church, their line for describing what they're all about, they get it in four words: where Jesus is Lord. Four words. That's what. And then they've got location, service times. Now, they do in boldface a little bit later say exciting, relevant service. So where Jesus is Lord, exciting, relevant service. Apparently that only applies to the Sunday 6 to 7 p.m. service, because the other service times are not listed as exciting or relevant. We will assume that they are boring and irrelevant. Here's another one, just a little farther down the page. This is a Baptist church, and they give it away, of course. They say, a historic Baptist church where Christianity transcends barriers of culture, ethnic diversity, and denominational dogma. I wonder what they mean by denominational dogma, given the fact that they are admittedly a Baptist church, a denomination. Maybe they're saying, what are they saying? What do you think? Are they saying that, yeah, we're Baptists, but we don't believe what those Baptists believe because they're denominations and we transcend denominational dogma? I find it interesting that when they say they're transcending barriers, they start with culture. That's good. We do want to transcend cultural barriers. And ethnic diversity, we do want to, as Christians, always see beyond mere ethnic idiosyncrasies, right? We do. But then they say denominational dogma. They want to transcend that barrier, too. And yet they call, this wouldn't surprise me from a non-denominational church, but it does surprise me listed under a Baptist church. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Just reading through the faith services blurbs of these congregations, what would you put there if you had only one or two lines to put in the newspaper about your church to tell the prospective church shopper what you're all about? Here's one from an Episcopal church: diverse, inclusive, Anglo-Catholic Sundays. Diverse, inclusive, Anglo-Catholic. It seems to me that those, except for the last one, those first two are intended to say, look, we're all, you know, everyone is welcome, diverse, inclusive, everyone is welcome. Okay, you've said that once already. Anglo-Catholic. That must be code. Well, actually, what it is it's another way of saying Episcopal or Anglican. Now, I'm sure that they mean the term diverse and inclusive to be positive terms. Otherwise, they wouldn't put it there. They wouldn't say we're diverse and we really mean that's a bad thing. They mean it to be a good thing. But think about those two terms, diverse and inclusive. They are kind of the buzzwords of the modern PC generation, aren't they? You toss those in when you want to say we're open-minded, we're not dogmatic about anything in particular, we're welcoming, we're friendly, we're warm, we're diverse, we're inclusive. Now, I'm always a little suspect of those terms because they seem to be just ambiguous enough that anyone can define them in any way they want. One person hears diverse, and they maybe picture a church with all different ethnicities in it. But when I hear diverse, what I suspect is that they have diverse teachings. You can believe whatever you want to here because we accept theological diversity. Am I being too cynical? Of course, they don't define what diverse means or what inclusive means. Are they inclusive of all beliefs? or are they simply inclusive of all people? There's a difference, you know. We tolerate people, but as Bible-believing scriptural Christians, we are not to tolerate all beliefs. Here's one that's honest. It comes from a Presbyterian church. It just has listed as the sermon theme for this Sunday, the joys and challenges of a liberal church. Now, if you've listened to this program at all, you know that I don't have any truck with liberal churches, but at least they're honest. They don't hide behind terms like diverse, inclusive, transcending barriers. They don't hide behind that. They just say, the joys and challenges of being a liberal church. It's our sermon. When you come here, you'll find a liberal church. Would that some self-avowed conservative churches would be so honest. But oddly enough, you find the self-avowed conservative churches often hiding behind those inclusive, diverse, transcending barriers, breaking bonds, that kind of language. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Some are so general as to leave one wondering what's going on. Here's another church. Focus is on God's love. Who could argue with that? For that matter, they simply could have said focus is on love and probably said just as much. Focus is on God's love. Short, sweet. Here's an interesting one. They obviously needed a few more words to describe what it is they're all about. This comes from a non-denominational church. Better than sleeping in on Sunday morning. I want to come back to that. A new church with uplifting worship, practical teaching, real people. Wow. I wonder what that means, real people, as opposed to what? Mannequins? Yeah, we just stock the pews with mannequins on Sunday mornings. No, we have real people and strong coffee. A bit of humor. But actually, that's a pretty strong prerequisite as far as I'm concerned, because most church coffee is so miserably weak as to hardly pass for coffee. You always know you got a, there's something, a church has got something going for it when its coffee is strong. Here's the one that I wondered about. Better than sleeping in on Sunday morning. You know, it's better than getting hit in the side of the head with a frying pan. I guess we can say that much. What are you saying of the American public, especially of the newspaper reading American public, when you say, look, our church is at the very least better than just laying in bed all morning? You might get an argument from some of the public on that, especially people who don't get to sleep in. So who do you think they're going for? If you come here, we're not going to tell you anything beyond the fact that you get an uplifting worship service, practical teaching, real people, and strong coffee. Apparently, that is what's also helpful in getting out of bed on Sunday morning, but it's better than sleeping in? I could really say that of a lot of things, couldn't I? Better than sleeping in. What's missing in some of these? Okay, I've been through 6 of them already. We've got open, we've got diverse, we've got relevant, we've got real people, we've got strong coffee. We've got one mention of Jesus, where Jesus is Lord. Transcending barriers, the joys and challenges of a liberal church. What's missing here? This is the church page, by the way, the last time I checked. All right, what's the next one here? Oh, this one was one of my personal favorites. Come feel the warmth. That's all it says. Casual dress code, cookies are included. We are a growing, friendly, caring congregation that is open to all. That's good. Come feel the warmth. You know, the winter days are setting in. It is fall. One has nothing to say of itself except that they're ordaining a new pastor, one Laura. I won't give her last name. One Laura is being ordained at a particular church. That's their line. They're going to ordain a female pastor. Enough said, I suppose. Here's a church that has an informal worship. They have three worship services, okay, on a Sunday morning. They have an informal worship, a contemporary worship, and a traditional worship. Informal comes first, contemporary second, traditional third. Usually you see contemporary versus traditional. This one includes informal. So I guess now we're making a distinction between contemporary and informal. For those for whom contemporary is still too formal, there's the informal service. Let's see. Was I there before? Yes. This one can hardly be called a church because this is from an ethical humanist community. Repairing the world. That's their line. Repairing the world. They don't say how. But if you want to come to the ethical society, and by the way, they say visitors are always welcome. You can learn about repairing the world. Another church says, people are real. This seems to be a trend here. Real people, the people are real. The people are real, the messages are for today. You'll relate to the music, dress is casual. I guess that goes into the informal service. And we love to laugh, have children, so do we. This is what they're all about. You'll be loved no matter who you are. The people are real. That's always good to know. Messages are for today. You'll relate to the music. Dress is casual. We love to laugh. Have children. So do we. This is what they're all about. When they get five lines to say what they're about in the newspaper to the prospective church shopper, this is what they say. There's another church that is, well, I guess you wouldn't call this a church either. It's a metaphysical society. They're doing the spirit of the 12 steps. Apparently a lot of alcoholics and recovering alcoholics in that congregation. They're also doing a course on miracles. I guess if AA doesn't work, you can always hope for a miracle at the Metaphysical Center. Another church looking for, ooh, here it is. It's the buzzword of the decade. Looking for purpose and a place to be yourself. Check us out. Dress is casual. There we go again. Dress is casual. People are friendly. Now, they don't say they're real, but they are friendly. Music contemporary. The bagels are free. Relevant teaching. Creative children's program. Bagels are free. One church. Look, if you had to choose between the church that had the strong coffee and the real people, how would you make your choice between that and the church where the people may not be real, but they're friendly and the bagels are free? Would you have real people and strong coffee or friendly people and free bagels? Apparently, donuts are passé on Sunday morning. When I grew up, donuts were the fare. They weren't free, by the way. You were always expected to put something in the coffee can. The coffee was weak. The donuts were free. Wouldn't you love to see that? People are superficial. Coffee is weak. Donuts will cost you. Parking is inconvenient. I guess donuts aren't seeker sensitive because you get all that. You know what I mean? Even if you're dressed casually, you end up with all that stuff on your fingers and around your face. All right. Creative Children's Program. In addition to a relevant teaching, they've got a creative. I still don't know what to make of this. Looking for a purpose and a place to be yourself. Those are the two buzzwords in church advertising nowadays. Purpose and a place to be yourself, or be yourself. And I've often said, and I don't know, maybe I'm just overly pessimistic about myself. I don't want my church to tell me that I should be myself. Being myself is what got me in this fix in the first place. Being myself is what has put me at odds with my Creator. Being myself is the problem. I would like a church that could show me someone other than myself. My problem is that I am myself. I am a poor, miserable sinner. please don't tell me to be myself anymore. The world is telling me to be myself. Everyone and their dog is telling me to be myself. The church ought to be showing me someone other than myself. All right, let's see. We'll move on down here. And again, I'm just touching upon the highlights. Another honest church that doesn't hide behind real people, free coffee, and free bagels. Since 1873, faithful to Holy Scripture, you know that's the first time that the Bible has been mentioned in any of these? Faithful to Holy Scripture, historic creeds, and the 39 Articles of Religion, and the Book of Common Prayer. You don't even have to look at the heading, and you know you're dealing with an Episcopal church of the Reformed variety. Because they've told you exactly what their beliefs are. They believe in Holy Scripture, the historic creeds. They hold to the 39 Articles of Religion. Those are the kind of classical Anglican teachings of history. And the Book of Common Prayer. They even tell you how they worship. An honest church. Apparently there, they don't worry whether or not the people are real or the coffee is strong. Let's see. Another honest church, only two sections away, this on the other side of the spectrum, a liberal religious community in West County. This happens to be a Unitarian Universalist church. They are a liberal religious community. Their sermon is, Let Us Truly Hear the Music. But at least they're honest. I mean, when you read through this stuff, don't you think the same way? I wish they would just tell me what they're really about rather than plying me with bagels and coffee and the reality of people and the warmth and the friendliness of the atmosphere and the relevance of the teaching. Why don't you give me a taste of what that relevant teaching might be? Instead of telling me that the teaching is relevant, why don't you give me a taste of what it is? What am I going to find when I go there? Anyone can claim to have relevant teaching. Anyone. Tony Robbins could start a society in St. Louis and say his teaching is relevant. He can teach you how to unleash the giant within and how to get wider teeth and a more flashing smile. And that would be relevant. And I'm sure that Tony Robbins, when he gathers all of his disciples around, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? When he gathers all his disciples around him, I'm sure that the people will be real. I'm sure the coffee will be strong. No wimps among the Tony Robbins devotees. Although I don't know they'd be drinking coffee because that does tend to stain the teeth. Maybe there's complimentary teeth whitener at the door. And I'm sure that the bagels are free. Tony Robbins could claim all these things. Warm people, real people, friendly, motivational, relevant teaching. Friendly, come feel the warmth. A purpose, a place to be yourself. It wouldn't be a church. There are a few more I want to share with you when we come back from this break. It's Open Lines Issues, etc., 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Honestly, sometimes this is more entertaining to me than reading the comics. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Have you grown weary of devotional books that focus more upon the Christian than upon Christ? Devotions emphasizing Christ in you more than Christ for you. Issues, etc. recommends Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhard. It's our book of the month for November. Meditations on Divine Mercy is translated by Issues, etc. regular guest Pastor Matt Harrison. Visit our website, issuesetc.org, for more information on this book. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. If you've read the Prayer of Jabez, you need Meditations on Divine Mercy. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Meditations on Divine Mercy, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November. That's 1-800-325-3040.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on a gospel breakthrough in Ghana. Sharing Christ's truth in Ghana is tough. Most people worship spirits, and they're fearful. And they seek the Spirit's blessings for their lives. About 30% are Muslims. Meanwhile, Christians account for up to 25% of the population. A ministry called Mission Moving Mountains shows how to reach people who are resistant to Christ. A man named David is a missionary from Ghana. He tried planting a church in a Muslim community, but the people beat him and asked him to leave because they were fearful and felt threatened. However, Mission Moving Mountains trained him in community development and discipleship. He returned to the community and listened to the local leaders about their needs. The local chief was moved so deeply that he gave David land to start a school. Students are attending and he can share the gospel with them. Pray for more people in Ghana to receive Christ. Pray for outreaches around the world by logging onto the website missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. November 9th and 10th are days of important historical events. One we dare never forget. Kristallnacht, the Night of Crystal. November 9th and 10th, 1938, when Nazi thugs torched Jewish synagogues. The following comes from Joseph Goebbels' diary. I see a blood-red glare in the sky. The synagogue burns. From all over the Reich, information is now flowing in. 50, then 70 synagogues are burning. The Führer has ordered that 20 to 30,000 Jews should immediately be arrested. In Berlin, 5, then 15 synagogues burn down. Now popular anger rages. It should be given free rein. Bravo! Bravo! How terrible. We who believe Israel's Messiah has come should hold the Jews in special regard, as did St. Paul. In Romans 9, he says, they are Israelites, God's adopted children. They have the Lord's glory, the pledges, Moses' teachings, the true worship, and the promises. The Messiah is descended from their ancestors according to his human nature. The Messiah is God over everything, forever blessed. Spirit of God, by your word, extinguish any anti-Semitism in our hearts.
Peace Lutheran Church in South County is an underwriter of Issues Etc. on AM 850 KFUO. Peace Lutheran is located at 737 Barracks View Road in Lima. The Reverend Dennis Castens and Ken Wagoner are the pastors. Their phone number, area code 314-892-5610, 892-5610. Issues Etc. brought to you in part locally by Peace Lutheran Church in South County. Welcome back to Issues Etc., the first hour. Open lines. We got some callers waiting. I'll get to that in just a second. I do want to finish with the last two little advertisements from the Faith Services, the Faith Community page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Saturday that caught my eye, and that's what we're kind of walking through. If you'll notice, as we've been putting this together, certain words emerge as kind of the buzzwords of the modern church, and this applies not only to mainline denominational churches, it applies to non-denominational churches, and even to things like ethical societies and Unitarian Universalists. Purpose, be yourself, we're warm, we're relevant, we're inclusive, we're diverse. What does it mean? What does it mean? I know that those are words that resonate with the public, but what do they mean? Here's the second to last. This is from an evangelical church. Children's choir with moving music and drama, celebratory music with band and orchestra. So far we know how they're appointed musically. Children's ministries at each service, adult ministry, single ministries, junior high, senior high, college ministries. They seem to have covered all the generations where friends become family. Actually, in most churches, we'd probably have a hardness job just making family friends, given the state of the modern family, but they want friends to be family there. Here's the last one that caught my eye, and kudos to Grace Presbyterian Church. On the very last page of the Faith Services advertisements in the Saturday St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Jesus finally gets more than honorable mention. The first one I mentioned was where Jesus is Lord, and that's good. But Lord, having Jesus as Lord, is he's Lord to everybody, folks. On the last day, everyone will cry out, Jesus is Lord. Even those in hell will cry out, Jesus is Lord. The demons know Jesus is Lord. But kudos to Grace Presbyterian Church. You might want to visit them. They're out by Mid Rivers Mall. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Not only are they quoting the Bible for the first time in all these pages, but they're actually quoting probably the most relevant thing you could know about a church. Now, like I mentioned before, you got Tony Robbins. He can promise you relevant teaching, a warm atmosphere. He won't promise you that he'll preach Christ and Him crucified. A church can tell you that if you come here, you can be yourself. But as I mentioned before, being yourself is the problem, not the answer. You need to know about someone other than yourself. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Kudos to Grace Presbyterian Church out there in St. Charles. At least I know what I'm going to hear when I go there. Don't know much about the people, don't know much about the music, don't know much about all the other things, but I do know who they will tell me of. Christ and Him crucified. Our call in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Up first, Monica is on the line calling from her car. Thank you for waiting, Monica.
Hi, Pastor. I love this section of the paper. Every Saturday morning, it's the first page I turn to in the Post to read these ads. I kind of laugh at the same time. It's very sad. I've thought about several times if our church were to run an ad, what would we want to say? And exactly what you had just said about Christ crucified was what we've tossed around at our own church. But I have to tell you, I have a friend that is fleeing a mainline, very liberal church, and it's been a long process for her and a very difficult, painful one because of family ties and a lot of peer pressure there. But after years of sharing with her and running into her and talking to her, she's been visiting with me on Sundays, and she's been going to, before she ever came to a worship service, she would go to our pastor's Bible studies, and I think she did it for a long time. And now she's coming to worship service and Bible studies. And after a Bible study this Sunday, which was very blunt and to the point, she said, you know, what I love about the Lutheran Church is that you guys are painfully honest. And then kind of as a sidebar, it was funny, she says, kind of that, oh, it hurts so good. And I thought, you know, that that was an interesting way of putting it. But it was where she was getting the painful truth about her human condition. But because she was getting the truth about it, the gospel was so good. And I thought that was a really interesting way to put law and gospel.
Monica, thank you very much for the call. And thanks for doing the work of an evangelist. It's very nice to hear someone who says, look, come to my church. We're just going to be honest with you. We don't promise you relevance or purpose or being yourself. We will tell you exactly what God's word says of you, and we'll tell you about someone else other than yourself, namely Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So if your congregation had three or four lines in the faith page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch wherein to advertise what they're all about, what do you think should be there? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Calling from St. Charles, Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, good afternoon. If you were Rush Limbaugh, I'd say mega dittos because I echo everything you say. I've had experience with the church that serves Starbucks coffee to attract seekers, and I've had experience with a church I attended for several years that changed their name for their location so that they could make a mark in the community because they didn't want people to know they were Southern Baptist. But when you were speaking earlier about relevance, I had been away from the Lutheran Church for 13 years, and I'm going to one in De Pere now. And yesterday when we came to the part of the service confessing the sins, I can't take communion yet, which pains me because I have to go back to adult inquiry class. But I was sitting there, and I just broke down because I hadn't confessed sins in 13 years, nor had I felt convicted of sin. And I thought, this is so where it is, and I'm so glad that God is calling people back, and I truly believe that there are broken hearts out there. There are people who want what God has to offer, but it's being disguised by good coffee and, you know, music and programs, and they're not telling people God loves you and He forgives you And I can't tell you, I broke down, and for the first time in such a long time, I realized that what the gospel truly meant.
Gail, since you mentioned you're going to a Lutheran church, I'd like to ask you, mm-hmm. what do you think of Lutheran churches that are trying to copy the evangelical churches that you found to be, in the end, so detrimental to your faith?
It absolutely breaks my heart. It more than breaks my heart. It's something I'm mourning over because it is such a winsome philosophy. And it does so much damage, but it is such hidden damage, it doesn't come to the surface for quite a while. In fact, the church where I was before, the pastor is now leaving. He's been there for the whole time, for almost 20 years, and he has been run out because he won't go along with this new seeker-sensitive philosophical pop psychology. And he is actually going to return to a church where he was pastor before to repair the damage done in his little church there by what's happened. It is the most heartbreaking thing I've ever been a part of.
Gail,
it really is.
Thank you very much, Gail. I'm glad you found your way back to the truth. You know how often I hear stories like this from people? On a daily basis. Refugees from evangelicalism, whether it's evangelicalism as it manifests itself in non-denominational circles or in denominational circles, in my own Lutheran church, refugees from it who say, you know, they said God loves me, but I didn't know how he loved me. Just kind of given a general impression of a loving God. And they had everything to meet all of my human needs. It was all there, gushing out at me, except the one thing I really needed, which was to hear what God's verdict about me was. I was told essentially that I was a basically good purpose. I can't even get through a sentence without saying purpose. I was basically a good person, and I just needed a little brushing up, and then God would be smiling at me. I was told that my real problem was that I just lacked the proper information on how to live, and if I just knew that and applied myself diligently, then everything between God and me would be okay, but I knew deep in my heart that this was simply not true. And the harder I tried, I realized the more I was failing. And finally, someone was honest with me, was honest to God with me, and said, your problem isn't that you're a good person who basically needs to be kind of fixed up. Your problem is you're a sinner. You need a savior. Not a helper, not a therapist, not a coach, not an encourager. You need a savior. You need someone to die for you, and someone has. They paid the price for your sins. You know, I hear that every Sunday when I go to church. Every Sunday. And it never gets old. It never gets old. I pray when I sit in the pew on Sunday. I pray before the pastor opens his mouth. I watch him get into the pulpit. And I pray for my own sake and for the sake of my children and the people around me, but if I'm quite honest, really for my own sake, I pray, let me hear the law and let me hear the gospel. Let me hear sin, my sin, and what it has cost me in my relationship with God. Let me hear grace, God's grace in the person of Jesus Christ. I don't care anything else that they tell me. I don't, in the end, I really don't care if the coffee's weak. I don't care if the people are friendly. But I have never met people made so friendly as those people who have had their sins forgiven. I've never met people who are so real than people who have stood before God together and confessed what is real, their own culpability before God, and heard what is real, God's answer to their sin in a crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. They're not the best-looking people in the world. They may not even actually be the nicest people in the world, but I'll tell you what, nothing forges a bond of genuine fellowship, not just friendship, but fellowship between people like being forgiven by one Savior. The coffee can be weak. Heck, they can even charge me for the donuts if they want to. Small price to pay. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I pray that I hear that every Sunday. And I thank God that I do. And I want my children to hear it when I'm gone and can't make sure they go to a church where they do hear it. It's open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Speaking of children, I didn't know this until I read John Leo's article in U.S. News and World Report called The Good News Generation, but I've got a Generation Y at home. I thought she was just my kid, but she's actually a millennial. Here's John Leo. Ours is a four-generation family. I am a silent or mature, that is, born before 1946. Duty, tradition, loyalty are the watchwords to professional generation watchers who like to find three nouns for each group. My esteemed spouse is a baby boomer. Their words, individuality, tolerance, self-absorption. That about sums it up for the boomers. Our first two daughters are Generation Xers. Their three adjectives are diversity, savvy, pragmatism. And our youngest daughter is a millennial, writes Leo, a member of the cohort born between 1977 and 1994, one of the best researchers and generation watchers, Ann Klerman of the Yankelevich Partners, suggests these for the Generation Y as the nouns to describe the generation: authenticity, authorship, and autonomy. They're also called the Echo Boomers because they, as a generation from 1977 to 1944, are every bit as large as the baby boom generation, 78 million of them. Now, if you think that advertisers are not paying attention to this, think again. They realize that their stock portfolios, their profit margins, their stock prices depend largely upon playing into the hands of this next generation. They've got disposable income. They're going to be coming into their own in the next 5 or 10 years. I can guarantee you that in boardrooms and planning sessions, they're talking about the millennials. They have been, by the way, for a long time, and they're talking about Generation Y. They are family-oriented, viscerally pluralistic, deeply committed to authenticity and truth-telling. Now, there's something that you might want to pay attention to if you're trying to attract those people to your church. They want you to tell the truth. They want authenticity, not buzzwords that play well in focus groups, like diversity and pluralism and things like that. By pluralistic, Klerman means that the distinctions of race, ethnicity, and gender are of little interest to millennials. They tend to overlook differences and treat everyone the same. Yankelevich and other researchers have been picking up on a new emphasis on family among this generation for years. The yearning for a good marriage is dominant among millennials. Klerman says that 30% of those surveyed say that they want three or more children. In fact, if you do the numbers, a generation of 78 million who decides that when they get married want to have three or more children, we're in for a baby boom like you've never seen when they start having kids. Indeed, one research company, Packaged Facts and Silver Stork, recently predicted a 17% increase in the U.S. birth rate over the next 10 years. Klerman says that as a group, the boomer parents are spending a lot of time getting close to their millennial children. These are better relationships than with the Generation Xers who had with their boomer parents, or than boomers had with their own mothers and fathers. According to Gallup, more than 90% of teens say that they are very close to their parents. In 1974, over 40% of boomers said that they would be better off without their... Okay, I'll read that again without chuckling. In 1974, 40% of boomers said that they would be better off without their parents. Now, in 1974... a lot of those boomers were still living off their parents or were still benefiting from a college education paid for by their parents. Oh, yeah, they were out in the street protesting the Vietnam War on their parents' nickel. And when they got plunked in jail, the parents bailed them out. And yet they had the gall in 1974 to the tune of 40% to say that they'd be better off without their parents. J. Walker Smith, president of Yankelevich, says that the drive toward reconnection with family and community was showing up in the data even before 9/11 and is exceptionally strong today. Generation Y is turning out to be the edgy, cynical, ironic cohort many expected, the report says. In addition to the millennials' closeness to their parents, statistics on sexual activity, violence, and suicide rates are down. Concern with religion and community are up. Evidence on drinking and drugs are mixed, both smoking, drinking, and drugs. Youth in the 8th, 10th, and 12th graders simultaneously fell in 2002 for the first time. Millennial affection for authenticity over glitzy marketing products is on a marked rise. An ordinary-looking, midriff-free, non-dancing singer hailed as the anti-Britney, reports brandchannel.com. Now, I can testify to the fact that my daughter, who is squarely near the end, yes, she is squarely near the end of the Generation Y, can tell you, now her term is cheesy. That's her term. She can tell you when something is cheesy and when it isn't. She watches an ad on television. And she can tell you that's cheesy. She sees right through it. She can tell you when something's cheesy at church, too. She can tell you when something is all glitz and no substance. They've been raised on advertisements. They've been raised on buzzwords. They've been force-fed the latest, the newest, the most innovative, the most contemporary. Their entire short lives, they have no stomach for it. They have no tolerance for it. They want honesty. Millennials are apt to trust parents, teachers, and police. Apparently, they're more likely to trust presidents, too. A Harvard poll released last week reported that President Bush has a 61% favorability rate among American college students. This may not mean much. The millennials are not very politically active. The millennials are a very interesting generation, concludes Leo. Now, if they could just walk one block without carrying a bottle of water or making 4 phone calls. He's a curmudgeon-y old guy, isn't he? How many times have you heard people say, we have to have contemporary worship for the youth? The youth need this. They expect this. Well, Generation Y, the new youth. Oh, by the way, if you're older than 20, you're not in the youth group anymore. You might want to move on to the grown-up room. Generation Y wants authenticity. They want honesty. Why not offer them something that they value, like historic, authentic, perhaps even classical, liturgical worship? It's never been tried. In marketing terms, that's always a good idea. You know, we've never tried this before. It might work. It's never been tried. How many of these churches who are doing the latest, the newest, the most relevant, how many of them are going to say, you know, after 20 years, we've really served the boomers well. We got them nice and happy. How many of them would offer historic worship, solid, in-depth Bible study beyond just, hey, do you know what you want to do with your life? Peer pressure and pizza parties for the youth. Or is this move to be contemporary really just about keeping the boomers happy? In particular, the boomer pastors happy. Is it less about reaching people and more about just personal preference? We'll see. And if they're going to have two to three kids in their planned happy marriages, these Generation Y are going to want the same thing for their own kids. Think about that. They're going to want the same thing for their own children. In the few minutes we have left, there is one brief update on a story we've been following in depth here on Issues, Etc. This, the headline from the Associated Press, openly gay bishop, want church to embrace outcasts, take a stand on moral issues. Facing criticism himself as the Episcopal Church's first openly gay bishop, the Reverend Gene Robinson says he wants the church to seek out the disenfranchised and speak out on moral issues. Oh, by the way, footnote, excluding homosexuality. Can't speak out on that. Everything else is fair game, I suppose. Robinson preaching Sunday for the first time since his consecration last week told congregants that Jesus spent most of his time with women, tax collectors, and foreigners, not with rabbis and wealthy members of the temple. All right. Put a pin in that. Jesus, quote, looked at the religious establishment of his day and realized they had closed their eyes to those on the margins. Actually, he looked at the religious establishment of his day and said to them, "You are the spawn of Satan. Repent." He called them to repent. That's a word that's oddly foreign to the rhetoric of Gene Robinson. "Think of all the kinds of blindness right outside this door," he said, "not seeing people in need or turning other away when we do." The church, Robinson said, must express its opposition to social injustice, such as the lack of medical care for many Americans. How dare we in this country spend $87 billion when 44 million people have no health insurance? Boy, is this relevant teaching. I'll tell you what, he's got the news of the day down pat. $87 billion on a war, and he's got the latest figures on health care, and he knows what the churches should be all about. The church founded on unhappiness and anger is not going to go very far. I wonder how far a church founded on, what, a denial of God's word is going to go. And I must ask, upon what authority does he base these moral demands? He left Scripture behind when he was consecrated, well, long before that, when he left his wife and his children to shack up with his gay lover. He thumbed his nose at Scripture when he accepted the hands of bishops on his head to consecrate him as the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. Real quickly, before we go, Kent is on the line from his car. Kent, welcome to Issues Etc. We've got about 1 minute or less, actually.
Okay, I can make the pitch in less than that. I'm not a betting man, but if I were to bet, I would bet that one of the quote-unquote moral issues or social justice issues that Robinson would stand up for is abortion. And by that, I mean he would cast pro-choice and pro-abortion rights as a moral issue, and I find that absolutely repugnant. The man is an arch-heretic.
Kent, thank you very much. I suspect you're probably right there. But you know what? At least he's being honest. I got to hand it to Gene Robinson. For all his thumbing nose at Scripture, he at least is not hiding behind words like relevant and be yourself and purpose and warm and hot coffee and free bagels. He's at least telling us what he thinks the church really ought to be all about. He's being plain and honest. Would for such honesty. Remember that ancient Greek philosopher who walked around with a lit lantern all day looking for an honest man? You remember him? Maybe that's what I'm doing during this hour, just looking for an honest church that will tell me what it's really all about. Stay away from the buzzwords. We'll be right back to talk with Dr. Ken Sherb on Luther's birthday.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.